hearts would say yes to your will, whether it's convenient or not that we would say yes, whether we understand it or not that we would say yes, whether it's difficult or not we would say yes. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. I'll try that again. It is a good morning. Good morning, church. Good morning. Okay. Before we go into the word, I want us to pray a prayer, and it's based on an event that happened in Mark 6. In Mark 6, we see the disciples there on the sea, and then everything goes turbulent, and they're afraid. And then Jesus, when you read the entire passage, it says Jesus saw them, and he saw that they were in trouble. And Jesus comes walking out, and they see Jesus, and actually Jesus on the water adds to their fear, because they think he's a ghost. But then finally they realize it's Jesus. Jesus comes on the boat, and everything is beautiful. But then the Bible says something very, very interesting in verse 51 and 52 of Mark 6, and I'll read it quickly. It says, then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. What had happened just before they went on the sea was that Jesus had fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But this verse says that the disciples, they didn't understand because their hearts were hardened. And for me, it's a very deep verse, because it shows that you can be walking with God, you can be coming to church, you can love God. In fact, you can be quite close to God, and your heart can be hardened and you don't even know it. If anybody had asked these disciples, are their hearts hardened? They would have said no. But the Bible says they were so amazed, because when the loaves happened, their hearts were hardened. They didn't realize the power that Jesus held. So I want us to rise to our feet. And before we go into the word today, I want you to pray for yourself. And the prayer point is simple. It's just, Father, if in any way my heart is hardened, whether I know it or not, Father, soften my heart today so that I would receive your word. Soften my heart today so that my ears would not be dull of hearing. Soften my heart today so that my eyes would not be dim of seeing. So just pray that prayer for yourself. You know, the disciples, not only were they there during the miracle of the loaves, Jesus used them. They were the ones that handed out these loaves, and yet they didn't get it because their hearts were hardened. So just pray for yourself. If you're a child here, a young person, I want you to pray for yourself as well. If you think about Samuel, in the sons of Eli, they grew up in the church, they grew up in the temple, and yet the Bible said about them that they didn't know God. They were corrupt, their hearts were hardened. Samuel grew up in that same house, raised by the same Eli, but his heart was receptive and open to God. So as a child, pray that God would open your heart to hear what he has for you today. Pray that God would help you, that your heart would always be receptive to him. So let's just pray for ourselves. After 50 days of fasting, my heart must not remain hardened. Your heart must not remain hardened. Something must give to the glory of God. And so shall it be, because in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, as we go into a time of prayer, Holy Spirit, come and teach us yourself. We don't want to hear man, we want to hear you. So Father, I pray for every single person in your house, including our children that are in the service with us this morning. I pray, Father, that you would speak to each and everyone in the name of Jesus. I pray that your word would find good ground in our hearts in the name of Jesus. That today we will not be dull of hearing in the name of Jesus. That today our spiritual eyes will not be dim in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, for every single person in your house today, that not one of us would leave this place the same in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. So I want you to say something to the person sitting next to you. Just say something nice to them. You might want to prophesy something to them. You might want to say you're blessed. You might want to say it's well with you. It's a new month. It's a new dawn. It's the end of 50 days fasting. Congratulate them. You made it. Amen. So we thank God for seeing us through the past 50 days. When we started, it seemed to some of us almost like an insurmountable mountain. But we thank God. God has taken us to the peak, and we're victorious in Jesus' name. So I want to start by saying that whether you did the entire 50 days, or maybe you only did 25 days, or maybe actually by the time you gather the hours that you did, maybe yours came to one day, or maybe you're even here and you didn't even do an hour or a minute, right? Okay, so I have good news for you. So whether you did the entire thing, and if you did, God bless you mightily, or you only did a tiny weeny bit, or you did none at all, the good news is that God has a word for you, right? And the good news is that God has awesome things that he wants to do in your life. Now, you might sit there thinking, is that right? I'll tell you why it's right. Matthew 20, we're not going to read it, but Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. There's a parable there about a master who needs people to come and work, right? So some of the workers, they were working from the break of dawn, right? Some came at the third hour. Some came at the sixth hour. Some came at the ninth hour. Some came at the 11th hour. They all got paid. So by God's grace, we're all going to get paid in Jesus' name. That parable, when I read it myself, I think it's unfair, but it just shows the graciousness, the mercy, the love of God. So God has something for every single one of us. And my prayer is that none of us would miss what he has for us in Jesus' name. So why do we fast? There are many reasons why we fast. There are many reasons why people fast. If we had the time and we passed the mic round, different people will say different reasons why they fasted, why they fast. Some of the reasons that we see in the Bible, some of the reasons why we fast is in repentance and seeking God's mercy. We know the story of Nineveh, when God sent Jonah to Nineveh and Jonah really wanted their destruction. But the Bible says that they fasted. You know, everybody in Nineveh fasted, not just every human being, even their animals fasted. And there was an outcome, right? Sometimes we fast for direction. We need direction from God. We see that with the disciples in Acts 13, they fasted. Sometimes we fast to show our dependency on God, to increase our dependency on God. Sometimes we fast for breakthroughs and interventions. If you look at Isaiah 58, it talks about the acceptable fast and the things that happen when we fast in the acceptable way, breakthrough, the divine interventions. One that I particularly like, one reason why we fast, and I want to encourage us that when you fast, and we should fast, that remember this one. We can fast to minister to God. We can fast as an act of worship to God. We know that the one thing that the Bible tells us God seeks is worshipers, those that would worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. And you see instances in the Bible where it tells us that people fasted to minister to God. People fasted as an act of worship. We'll look at one of them quickly. Luke 2, verses 37. Luke 2, 37. This is talking about Anna, who saw Jesus when he had been born. Luke 2, 37. It says, she never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with her fastings and prayers. So she ministered to God. She worshiped with her fasting. Another one is in Acts 13, 2. Acts 13, verse 2. This is some of the disciples. Acts 13, 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So they ministered to God. They worshiped God with their fasting. So lots of reasons. We haven't covered all the reasons. But one thing that possibly summarizes all these different reasons is that when we fast, we do it to get closer to God. We do it to get an increased awareness of his presence, whatever the reason is. And as long as your fast is an acceptable fast to God, there's one thing they all have in common. And they mentioned it, the choir, before the ministration mentioned it. One thing that they have in common is that if it's an acceptable fast to God, there is always a divine outcome. There's something that God would do, a divine outcome, something that would happen as a result of that fast. Examples, obtaining mercy and forgiveness. We mentioned Nineveh already. launching out into new ministries and new levels of intimacy with God. We see that in Acts 10. We see that in Luke 4, the case of Jesus. Receiving clear direction from God. We see instances when people fasted and then the Holy Spirit speaks and says, "Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas." Answers to lifelong prayers. Breakthroughs. Isaiah 58, I love the way, and I recommend that we read it. Isaiah 58, that talks about the acceptable fast. It talks about the things that happen, how your light would shine forth, how things would be broken, how yokes would be broken. So breakthroughs happen. It could be addictions that you'll be set free of as a result of fasting. We're strengthened as a result of fasting. We're empowered as a result of fasting. Like we said, there's an increased sense of God's presence. Some people, they discover their purpose. You know, earlier in the year, the first Sunday in the year, we were talking about 2018 being a year where God wants us to discover in different areas who He says that we are, where God wants us to develop in these areas, and where God wants us to deploy. So fasting helps us to do these things. Some people, after a period of fasting, their divine outcome is that a deployment happens. Some people, as a result of fasting, they discover who God says they are. So these are some of the outcomes. Freedom from sins and habits. The Bible talks about that sin that so easily entangles. There's freedom from these things. So however these divine outcomes look or how they're to manifest, and we've been fasting for 50 days, and I know that, and even if you haven't fasted, God has something for you. I know that they're divine outcomes that God has for us. But there's something that we need to be mindful for, and that's one of the things that we're pointing out in this service. When you fast, yes, there's a divine outcome that's to come. But oftentimes there would be some obstacle, some trial, some temptation that the enemy would bring to try and get you off track, right? So let's look at an example in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus fasted. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus fasted. Jesus had fasted. He had gone without food and water, had been ministering to God for 40 days and nights. And the divine outcome that was to come about was He was to launch into the greatest ministry of all time, the salvation of mankind, right? After Jesus fasted, then He started His ministry. But before that divine outcome could manifest, what came along? The devil came along to tempt Jesus. Now, if Jesus had succumbed to any of those temptations, the story would have been different. The divine outcome would not have happened as it did. Think of other examples. The workers' meeting today, we thank God for the workers' meeting. We're talking about Moses, right? Moses fasted too for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was up there on the mountain with God, just lying before God. And God, the Bible says that those 10 commandments on those stone tablets, amazing stuff. God wrote it with His own finger. And here's Moses. Imagine he's been having this awesome time in God's presence. God's presence has been so mighty, so awesome. And the divine outcome is that these people, they were to be a people that were separated unto God, different from anybody else on earth. And God had written Himself the laws that they were to follow. This was like a contract, my people. And Moses is full of all this glory, and he's full of all this basking in God's presence. And then God tells him what His people down there are doing, right? We can see this in Deuteronomy 9. And in that Deuteronomy 9, Moses goes down and he's angry. He's upset. Why? Because these guys, they're just a disappointment, the whole lot of them. If it were some of us, the chances Moses got to get rid of those people would have grabbed it with both hands ages ago. Because these people, I mean, they were just problematic people, right? But Moses goes down there, he's so angry. In fact, he throws the thing and breaks it, right? He's really angry with them. The Bible tells us that when the Ten Commandments broke in pieces, this is how the extent of his anger. He ground it up into pieces, mixed it with water, and he made them drink it, you know? But what did Moses do? What did Moses do? Even though he was so angry, let's look at Deuteronomy 9, 18 to 20. Deuteronomy 9, 18 to 20. It says, Deuteronomy 9, verses 18 to 20. Then once again, I fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. Once again, a second time. I ate no bread and drank no water. because of all the sin you had committed, doing what was evil in the Lord's sight, and so arousing his anger. I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough with you to destroy you. But again the Lord listened to me, and the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. But at that time I prayed for Aaron too. So in spite of his anger, his reaction, when Moses was squeezed, you know, I don't know how he did it. It was still love and compassion for this people that came out. You know, Sister Pat was talking about how Moses said to God that if you're going to destroy these people, start with me. Rub up my name from the book of life. I mean, who can you say that for? You know, and like she said, here we are. We are all looking forward to making it to heaven in Jesus' name. But Moses, the extent of the love and compassion in him for these people. Now, if Moses' response had been different, if Moses had said, God, let's destroy them from the youngest to the oldest, wipe them out, then the divine outcome would not have happened that was supposed to happen. So after 50 days, what happens? There's a divine outcome that God has for you, but you need to be watchful. You need to be prayerful. You need to be careful. There might be somebody here that there's someone that you need to forgive. There's someone that maybe there's a hurt that you have against someone and you need to let go of it. Because if you don't, your divine outcome can be sabotaged. And you know, there's nothing or no one that's worth terminating what God wants to do in your life. We might be talking about purpose. We might be talking about God's voice. We might be talking about God's hands on your life. So whatever it is, let it go. Let it go. For someone, it might be that there's some sin that so easily entangles you. It might be some addiction. It might be the way you spend your time. And you need to, not by your own strength, but you need to let go of it so that the divine outcome can happen. It would be sad if we go through 50 days of praying and fasting. We go through all that time, and then what God has proposed to do, we stop it. God forbid. God forbid. So a lot of these things we can't do in our own strength. You know, Romans 7:15, Paul is speaking here. Romans 7:15, and Paul says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. That's if we're trying to do it in our own strength. But we're going to be going into a time of prayer soon. And I believe that, and I know that God is here, and God wants to set us free from those sins that so easily entangle us. God wants to feel us and empower us so that when the things, you know, there was a pastor that was speaking and he said he and his wife, they had a little disagreement. It wasn't a big disagreement, but he felt very hurt, very upset. And so he kind of held on to it. You know how it is. And it's the kind of thing that under normal circumstances, after a while, they'll sort it out, right? But he said the Holy Spirit said to him, because he had been in a time of, and he was still then in a time of intensive prayer and fasting. And the Holy Spirit said to him basically that the things that are supposed to happen because of your fast and your praying and your fasting, if you don't let go of this unforgiveness, so he, wanting to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, he goes to his wife, and even though he didn't feel he was the one that was wrong, he goes to her and he says, sweetheart, whatever, I'm sorry, right? But then he said, you know how it is sometimes when you say sorry or I forgive you, but it's not quite from deep within. So he said he was now talking to her very formally, you know, and so he, if maybe she passes, he'll say, are you all right? You know, very not the way they normally are. And the Holy Spirit, because God is merciful, wouldn't let him go. And it was such a little thing, but he said maybe he had to pray, I don't know, 3-4 hours just to get rid of that thing, because you do not want to terminate what God wants to do in your life. And for some of us, we have to get aggressive with things. It might be that right now there's nothing, but in the weeks to come, tomorrow, something might come. And your response to that thing would determine whether or not your divine outcome comes about. You know, it's in this week that somebody might come and tell you to do something dodgy, right? Don't do it. We must stay away from sin. There are many things that other people do that we dare not. Young people, it might be cheating, it might be lying, it might be doing something that is just wrong. Don't do it. Don't terminate your divine outcome. And I pray that God would help us in Jesus' name. Yesterday, we were told that a lack of faith can stop your divine outcome from coming to pass? A lack of faith. So it might be that somebody's here today. There's something that you know God wants to do. There's something God has promised you, but you're struggling with faith. You might want to be very real with God when we start to pray and say, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, if we pause with other people, don't pause with God. Be real with God. God is your Father. And then also, after the fast, so we've said, first of all, that we need to be watchful, we need to be prayerful, so that we have appropriate responses that would not stop our divine outcomes. But also, we need to, it's not a case of we've fasted now, 2018 done and dusted. We need to live a fasted life. And I take us back to what we said at the start, that we can worship God through our fasting. So live a fasted life. And then the disciples, we look at the disciples, we looked at Acts 13 when they fasted and they ministered to God and they got direction and the Holy Spirit spoke to them. We see in the disciples something that's very key, and now that the fast is over, it's something that we need to take on board as well. We need to walk intimately with the Holy Spirit like never before after this period of fasting. In Acts, we're going to contrast two passages quickly. In Acts 1, 24 to 26, Acts 1, 24 to 26. This is the disciples. Acts 1, 24 to 26. They wanted to choose a replacement for Judas, and this is what they did. The Bible says, then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over the apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. So this was before the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They needed to know God's will. So what did they do? They prayed. Wonderful. And then they cast lots. The lots fell on Matthias. Matthias was the one that replaced Judas. Now let's see what they did after they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, 1 to 3. This is after they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. It says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manuel, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, things are so radically different, right? They're praying, they're fasting, and they're hearing clear instructions. It's not unambiguous. They're hearing and seeing and getting clear direction from God. They're not casting lots anymore. And you know, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it reminds me of last week's message where Gideon was throwing the fleece, right? But after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not recorded anywhere that they were casting lots again. They were hearing God. So post this 50 days fast, we need to walk intimately with the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that we would hear him. You know, when you have a close relationship with someone, you hear him, you speak to him, you walk closely with him. So what have we said? We've said, one, we need to remain prayerful and watchful. We need to keep living a fasted life. We need to yield fully to God and the Holy Spirit. We need to walk closely with him. And by his grace, as we do these things, we would receive our divine outcomes in Jesus' name. So we're going to be going into a session of praying now. And I really, really, really want to encourage everybody. Make sure that your mind is here, your heart is here. I know that the Holy Spirit wants to touch us, wants to do mighty things in our lives. And my prayer is that none of us would miss out on what God has for us today in Jesus' name. So if we rise to our feet as we go into a time of prayer. There is a sweet anointing in the sanctuary. There is a stillness in the atmosphere. So come lay down the burdens you have carried, and in the sanctuary, God is here. the first one is, if there's anyone who's here and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be Lord of your life. And children, young people, I want you to listen to me as well. You're not too young to come to God. Samuel was a child when he started to hear from God. So if you're here today, young or old, and you want to ask Jesus to come into your life, you want to ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, I want you to put your hands up so that we can pray together. Do you know all these things that we've been talking about? It first of all starts with having a relationship, a father-child relationship with God. This is the starting point. So you're here today and you want to say, Father, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to come and live in my heart. Just lift up your hands and we would pray with you. You know, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You have to believe. You have to say to him, Lord, come into my life. You have to make a decision. So if you're here today, you want to make that decision, I encourage you to just put up your hands and we would pray together as a church, as a family. Is there anybody who wants us to pray with them? Okay. I like to encourage people with a story because sometimes we think I'm too young or I'll do it some other time. And it's a story that it happened to the brother of someone that I know. I was quite young then, but I never forgot it. This young man, for years, people had been trying to get him to give his heart to Jesus, and he never responded. He always said, nah, no. But then God, in his mercy, one day, he decided to go for a Christian program with a friend. And on that day, for whatever reason, his heart was not hardened that evening. And when they gave the altar call, like we're giving it now, this young man put his hands up and he gave his life to Jesus. Young man had his whole life ahead of him. But that night on their way back from that program, something went wrong. They had an accident and he died. But for the mercy of God, he would have been going to hell. But thank God for his mercy. None of us know when the rapture would happen. None of us know when the Father would call us home. If you're here and you need to give your life to Jesus, young or old, I encourage you, put your hands up and say, Father, I'm not ashamed to put my hands up and say, I want to give you my life. So if you're here and that is you, just put your hands up. Let's pray with you. The second prayer point that we want to pray, when you look at the church in the book of Acts, we've seen one example today. They were casting lots before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they were hearing the Holy Spirit clear directions. There were times they wanted to go and preach in certain places, and the Holy Spirit said no. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit forbade them. They had relationship on another level. Before then, it's not that they weren't Christians, but after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something happened. Boldness came, power came, the ability to be an effective witness came. So if you're here today, you're a Christian, you love God, yes, but you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you want to receive power to be an effective witness, you want to receive power to fulfill purpose, you want to receive power to be everything God has called you to be, you want to walk intimately with the Holy Spirit, you want to hear him clearly, please come out and the ministers would pray with you. I know without a doubt that God is here and the Holy Spirit wants to pour himself out on us. He wants to do something new in our lives. After 50 days of fasting and prayer, something has to change. So if you're here, you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, please come out. Please come out. The ministers would pray with you. God would pour himself into you. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and your life will not, it cannot remain the same. You want to be endued with power from on high today. Come out. Let the ministers pray with you. Young people, children, you're not too young. We see examples both in the Bible and in contemporary life. Young people that God is doing awesome things through them. So you've given your life to Jesus in the past, but you want to be endued of power. You don't want to keep hearing about people saying, God spoke to me. You want to experience it too. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be this week, about 3 days to the end of the fast, there was stuff I was struggling with, and I was struggling with it, and I knew that I couldn't mess about with my divine outcomes, and I was real with God. I said, God, I'm struggling. I need to hear from you. I'm struggling. Somebody needs to be real with their father today and say, I'm struggling with this thing. I'm struggling. Somebody might be that you're struggling with forgiving someone who has hurt you so bad. You want to, but you can't do it on your own. Be real with your Father. Come out for prayer. Say, Father, I'm struggling, help me. Somebody might be pornography. You can't stop yourself. You want to, but you can't. Come out and be real with your Father and say, Father, help me. For some of us, it's complacency. We know what we should be doing, but we don't seem to be able to do it. You can't do it by your own strength. Let's come out and say, Father, set me free. Father, set me free. For some people, it might be a breakthrough that you are desperate for, and you need God's intervention. Come out. Let somebody agree with you in prayer. So everyone who falls into that category, please come out. Don't be cute with God today. Don't worry about who's next to you, who's seeing you, who's not seeing you. Please don't let me go the same way that I came. Touch me with your hand, Jesus, Baba. Please don't let me go the same way that I came. Touch me with your hand, Jesus, my Father. Please don't let me go the same way that I came. Touch me with your hand, Jesus, my Father. Please don't let me go the same way that I came. Touch me with your hand, Jesus, miracle worker. You are the miracle worker. Come and do a miracle today. Come and do a miracle today. Miracle worker, miracle worker, come and do a miracle today. Come and do a miracle today. Destiny Destiny changer, oh, come and change a destiny today. Come and change a destiny today. Your name is Yahweh, your name is the mirror.